Executing on innovation in higher education is a feat that requires finesse, knowledge, intense drive, but above all, courage. Today, on the FutureX podcast, we welcome back Dr. Mark Lombardi of Maryville University, and we engage in a discussion about what it takes to actually achieve the feat. We also discuss how to do so in a particularly globalized setting, and with modern technology changing every aspect in higher education today. For this discussion, our moderators are Christine Lucer, Carla Frazier, and Jicha Rafi. Let's go to Christine.
I think it would be really great if you could tell us why you think so many people with valid complaints and good intentions get stuck when they try to execute, and what's something concrete we could all walk away from this with that would help us move towards action?
Wow. Interesting. The answer to why people complain but aren't able to move forward is a deep answer, and there are all kinds of psychological reasons, but I'd say in a nutshell, in my experience, most people are more afraid of success than they are of failure. And so they'd rather talk about what they're going to do rather than do it. That's probably another topic for a clubhouse on human psychology that I shouldn't be involved in, somebody more qualified than me. The takeaways I would say are this, and I can speak to being a president, of course, but I can also speak to other, like provosts and other people in the academy. The reality, in many ways, in my opinion, is not that the academy is violently opposed to change. The academy wants to see leaders and people from all levels do things to activate that change, sort of see how it worked out. And if it worked out well, you know, in other words, if they jump into the pool and the water's fine and warm, then they're much more apt to jump into the pool. That's exactly what we found at Maryville. That's why I always try to lead with this courage. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about courage at every level. We've got young faculty who are doing amazing things, young staff. And by the way, every institution, McGill, every institution has these people. You got to find them. Number one, you got to celebrate like hell what they're doing. And then you have to knit them together, because sometimes they don't know that there are other people like there at the institution out there. So you got to bring them all together and empower them. We did that several years ago, and it was one of the best things we did. If there's one takeaway in any organization, it's go out and find the 12, 15, 20, 30 people who are doing some amazing things and predisposed to doing them, and bring them together. Almost like a club. I always hesitate to use the word committee, but bring them together and unleash them, ideas and different things. And that energy isn't, that energy does not push people away. That energy draws people in. It's like if you're walking, and a stupid analogy, but if you're walking down a hallway and you look inside a large room and you see people in there having fun, right? Instinctively, you're like, I want to be in there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're doing, but I want to be in there. And that's the way we have to look at innovation. Innovation is a magnet that draws people in, but they have to know it's there. They have to see it, and they have to realize that it's safe. It's safe to take risks. You know, it's safe to fail. It's safe to fail and learn from it and do something different. All of that is safe. One of the things, another tactic is provide a safe environment for failure. That's very, very important.
So I'm coming to you from Niger, West Africa. So an underdeveloped, under-resourced country that's looking at expanding its higher ed. And I think what would be good for me to learn or understand from your perspective is how can under-resourced countries globally, whether it be on the continent of Africa, South America, Southeast Asia, benefit from the things that you're doing in the digital transformation space?
Oh, it's a great question. And by the way, I was in Niger in 1983, so it brings back a lot of memories. I was doing some research at that time. I think simplistically, it's a matter of connectivity and bandwidth, and the extent to which countries, but really the global community, can extend connectivity and bandwidth at a deep enough level in places like Niger and other places, where then the power of these digital tools can be felt and felt just as directly and importantly as they can be felt if you were sitting in San Francisco. The same is true with the digital divide that exists within this country, whether it's urban, rural, or within urban, suburban communities. Bandwidth and connectivity is absolutely, I think, essential. That's the, I don't want to say it's the solution, but it is the necessary precondition to opening up the true power of this kind of approach to education and the digital tools that a young person where you are can take advantage. I know that there are a lot of people smarter than me who believe that, the future in online education is an international future, meaning it's not bringing international students to the United States or Australia or Europe. It's delivering that education in their country. And I think that digitization is going to be the wave that we ride to do that.
We're almost with 3 minutes till our top of the hour, Dr. Lombardi, and I want to be respectful to your time. I do have Jeet, who I'm going to ask for a really quick question, and then I want Christine to close us out with the question that she has, because I think it'll be very relevant to this audience, as well as Clubhouse, as well as higher ed. So, Jeet, really quick, can you give your question in a truncated manner so that we can have Dr. Lombardi answer it, and then we'd love for Christine to help us close out with her question.
Thank you, Dr. Lombardi. My quick question is that there are a lot of new technology that is coming up and is going to change radically. It will change how we live. Thank you, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it does. And their ability to go into this space, I think, unfortunately, so far has been limited. And I think you're seeing that. I think the university business is a lot like the newspaper business was 20 years ago. It's in trouble. And a lot aren't going to make it. What you describe, I think, is spot on in the sense that I think universities are going to be things that you carry with you in your pocket. That doesn't necessarily mean there won't be a physical university for a residential experience for some, but I think our concept of education is going to be a mobile app on your phone that you carry with you everywhere that's accessible. And frankly, that has a level of anticipatory AI service to it that is, if done right, will be second to none. The kind of thing very quickly, like I'm an accountant and my accounting profession is going to be turned over to AI in the next 3 years. And your Maryville app not only lets you know that, but pushes out to you a whole range of options and things to do before you have to think about it.
Thank you. I think the combination of all the new technology, at least I see 10 areas in new technology with AI and other things. I feel that the whole aspect of visualization and retention and comprehension will change drastically. Thank you, Dr. Lombardi. And I live in Kansas, so hopefully I'll try to get in touch with you and visit your university. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Love making connections here. And it's a great transition into actual things that we can do. So you've given us lots of good nuggets. I think courage was a big thing that people have to have. You have to have a really clear vision of what you want the future to look like. You need to build consensus. But I think one pet peeve that a lot of us here have is that people complain about problems and then you press them for a solution, or more importantly, action, and you just get crickets. So what we all love about Maryville is that your vision is supported by execution. And it's not just an acceptance of, but sort of an excitement for experimentation.
I'd love to come back, maybe a deeper dive into some things. And I encourage everybody on here, please connect with my LinkedIn account or connect with the university, and maybe we can have more one-on-one discussions and dialogue in the weeks ahead. But thank you.
Dr. Mark Lombardi has served as president of Maryville University since 2007. In that time, Maryville has achieved unprecedented growth and earned national distinction for leading a digital revolution in higher education. Dr. Lombardi is the 10th president named since the institution's founding in 1872. He's also the author and co-author of multiple books, the most recent being Pivot, A Vision for the New University, published in 2019. This episode was recorded live on Clubhouse. Check us out at the Future X Tribe. It was produced by the Future X Tribe, Beyond Academics, and the Next Global Organization. Executive Director and Chief Moderator, Matt Alex. Edited by BNext Media. I'm Hector H. Lopez. We'll see you next time as we continue our discussions with the higher ed changemakers on the FutureX podcast.